14:22-29. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, saying, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus.
Good morning. Sure good to see everyone here today, especially blessed to have folks visiting with us. We just want to welcome you as our guest and pray that you have an opportunity today to just truly worship the Lord, to reflect on His Word, and to have time with Christian brothers and sisters, just to spend some time together to fellowship in the Lord. Starting out today with a quiz about famous ships or boats. See if you can name them. Very good. Very good. Yes, 1492. How about that one? The Titanic. Well, you guys are great. All right. Now, this is not the actual one, but that's the replica. That's good. African Queen. Yes, very good. Very good. That's one of my favorite movies. African Queen. I think I hear it. The Lusitania. The sinking of the ship brought us into World War I. Sure, a lot of us remember when that happened. How about this one? The Arizona. Of course, the sinking of this ship brought us in to World War II. This is a tough one. You're batting 1,000 so far. This is the first ship, well, it's a replica of the first ship to circumnavigate the Earth. Anybody remember the name of it? Magellan. Magellan set off with 5 ships. Do you know only one of them made it back? And do you know that Magellan didn't make it back? Magellan died in the Philippines. He never circumnavigated the Earth, but this ship did. It's called the Victoria. The Victoria. Okay, how about this? The Enterprise. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I told them not to bother me, but...
This is the captain.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. I'm busy. Sorry. Sorry about that. The Enterprise. And the longest commission, the oldest ship still commissioned to as a warship. USS Constitution. And I don't know the name of the ship. I'm needing your help on it. This is the ship at the end of Lord of the Rings where Frodo and Gandalf and the elves get on and sail off. And I can't remember the name of it. So that's your homework for tonight. Find out the name of that ship for today. Find out the name of that ship for me. I'd really appreciate it. But we all know this ship. This is the one we're talking about last Sunday. We're finishing up today. Talking about this little boat out on the water. Colin got us out there, didn't he, in the sea, talking about Jesus sending his disciples out into the lake. He goes to pray. They're caught out there in the winds and the waves. And then, of course, Jesus decides to pass by them to reveal his divine glory and his divine presence to his apostles on the sea. When they cry out, of course, in fear, thinking he's a ghost, and Jesus reassures them that it's him and to take courage. And that's when Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Last week we began this lesson. Today we're planning to finish it up, and it's entitled, "If You Want to Walk on the Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." I again put up the title of the book by John Ortberg up on the screen because I want to give him his credit for not only the title, but for several of the points I shared both last week and this week. It's a really challenging book. A couple of the chapters deal with this particular event in the life of Peter and in the ministry of Jesus. So I just want to make that connection again. But the concept here, the way we've been looking at getting out of the boat and getting on the water, is the fact that in discipleship, Jesus is always calling us on. He's calling us out to do greater things. He's calling us to ministry, to serve, to stretch our faith, to grow, and to do so by getting out of our boat or our comfort zone or our fears. And whatever getting out of the boat is, it may be a variety of things for each one of us. It can be very different things. For you, it may be finally having that conversation about faith with your neighbor you've been meaning to have for 5 years, and somehow the right time has never been, but now you're going to do it, and you found a way to make it happen, and you're going to have that conversation, and God is calling you to do that, and you're afraid, you're concerned about rejection perhaps, but you know that God wants that conversation to take place. It may be to get involved in a ministry, to take on a work that someone's been encouraging you to do, to try it, to try developing a skill as a Bible school teacher, or any number of things. It may be in your older years to truly give yourself over, devote yourself to prayer on behalf of the church, on behalf of the people of God. And just like Anna, who spent those last years of her life in the temple, awaiting the coming of the Messiah, to spend the later years of life in prayer and in study and in meditation on the Word of God and be an encouragement to other people. It can be such a variety of things, but it means getting out of your boat, getting out of your comfort zone. That's a place that we sometimes just aren't ready to get out of. We're not ready to leave, even though it may keep us from having a bold adventure of faith in our life with Jesus Christ, walking on the water with Him. The question that we raised last week, and we do so again today, is what is He calling you to do at this point in your life? At this time in your life, what is it that Jesus wants you to do? Something that you can do for Him, you can do in service to others. And maybe it's a little frightening to you. Maybe it seems more than you really have the capacity to do. But He's calling you to do it. And deep down, you know that God wants you to step out in faith. But at the same time, there's that little boat that we hang out in where we're safe, that little comfort zone that we have. And it's so hard for us at times to break out of it. Last time, we were talking about some of the things that are shared by those who walk on the water, whether literally or figuratively. We saw with Peter and with us, it begins by recognizing God's presence. That's the first thing that happens to Peter. He recognizes this is the divine presence of Jesus, that this is one who, like God Himself, walks on the surface of the sea. But then he discerned between faith and foolishness. He didn't just jump overboard and see what happened. Remember what he says to Jesus. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And so there he's saying, I'm not just trying to take a risk here, make a fool of myself, but Jesus, if this is something you want me to do, then you command me. And oftentimes in our lives, as God is calling us, it's important for us to discern that this is truly an act of faith. It's not just some crazy harebrained idea I have, but it's something that God really wants me to proceed with in my life. Something that God wants done. And then, of course, as we see with Peter, it's a matter of getting out of the boat. What will you or I choose? Will you choose the boat or will you choose the water? Which will we choose? Now, we see, and we're going to talk about it today, if you get out of the boat, there's no telling what's going to happen. There's all kinds of things that can happen once you decide to take that step of faith. But there's one thing for certain, and that is if you never get out, the boat, you'll never join Jesus on the waves. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. And we start today with some other principles that we see kind of in the second half of this story, and that is that water walkers expect problems. There are going to be problems. This is right where we left off last week with Peter. Remember, he's there at the side of the boat. He said these things to Jesus. Jesus has said, come on out. And I wonder if the 11 are thinking, well, what's he going to do now? His bluff has been called. Will he really go forward with this? Is he going to, how crazy is this guy is? But then while they're watching, he swings one leg over the side and then the other leg over the side. And then he lets go of the rail and he stands up. In that moment, he abandons himself to faith in Jesus Christ. And he is empowered by the Lord to walk on the water. That's the only way Peter walks on the sea, is that Christ gives him the power to come and to join him on the waves. He abandons himself. What would it have been like in that moment? Can you imagine standing on the surface of the sea, looking into the eyes of your Lord, walking all the way across that distance, coming into the presence of Jesus and seeing him. What a moment it was, not only for Peter, but for Jesus as his disciple takes this step of faith. But then, of course, as the text says, and we know so well, Peter saw the wind. He saw the wind. Reality sets in, and Peter may be thinking, what was I thinking? There's no boat very close to me. I'm out on the water. The wind's blowing. There's a storm here, and he's terrified. But interestingly, if you look at it, nothing's changed. The storm was there when he got out. The wind was there when he got out. There's nothing new, but there's just a shift in focus here, isn't there, from the Savior to the storm. It's that loss of focus on Jesus himself. And when that happens, sometimes the wind begins to trouble us. We've all seen the wind. We've all seen the wind. You start out on a new adventure of faith. You start into a new ministry. You take on a new job in the kingdom. You have hopes. You have expectations of what's going to happen. Maybe it's that day that's finally coming. You know, this is the day. I've arranged it. I'm talking to my neighbor today. We're having lunch today. It's settled. I'm having that conversation finally. Or someone's been encouraging you for years. You know, you should be a teacher. We need you to be a teacher at church. And you said, you know, God is encouraging me through the body of Christ. It's time for me to take a step in faith. It's time for me to do this. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever God's calling you to do, maybe it's to start a new ministry, and the ministry is starting, the day is here, and it's the kickoff, and here it comes. And then reality sets in. And there are setbacks, and there are obstacles. And you're doing your best, and somebody's criticizing you because it's not exactly what they expect. Or the first day of the ministry hits, and nobody shows up. Or you don't get the kind of feedback that you were hoping for, and your neighbor says, you know what, I don't ever want you to bring up faith to me again. And you feel the wind, the trouble that was there all the time, and you feel at times like a failure. The wind is always there, but sometimes trouble still catches us by surprise when we decide to take a walk of faith. At the same time, the wind is what keeps some people from never getting out of the boat in the first place. There are 11 guys who see the wind and don't get out to start with. They're not going to try to tread on the waves of the sea. But if you get out, you're going to surely feel the wind. You might as well know you're to expect some problems. But here's the truth. You're not much safer in the boat. Here's a little quote from a writer by the name of Eileen Guder. She said, you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer, drink no tea, coffee, or other stimulants in the name of health, go to bed early, stay away from nightlife, avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense, mind your own business, avoid involvement in other people's problems, spend money only on necessities, and save all you can. You can still break your neck in the bathtub, and it'll serve you right. I kind of like that. Yeah, I'll serve you right. If you're going to live life that cautious, you know, life is risky. If someone said if you're looking for a life without any kind of risk, you chose the wrong species. It's just part of the way it is to be a human being. You can say, you know what, I'm not even going to get out of bed. I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to stay in bed. And you may be one of the 500,000 people every year in the United States who goes to the emergency room to have treatment for injuries suffered while falling out of bed. You know, because it just happens. There's risk. There's problems. You might as well just expect it. For baseball folks, you step up to the plate, guess what? You may strike out. The best hitters fail 2 out of 3 times. But if you never step up to the plate, you'll never know the exhilaration, and it must be quite an exhilaration to face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball on the inside part of the plate. That's pretty exhilarating, wouldn't it? That would get my heart pumping. Or the exhilaration of driving a double to the gap. You're never going to know what that's like, let alone a walk-off home run to win the game for your team. You just know that there are going to be times that there are going to be problems and expectations. There's danger in getting out of the boat, but there's danger of staying in the boat. You can catch pneumonia and die in the boat if you're not careful. Or spiritually speaking, if you stay in your boat too long, You can die spiritually from boredom and stagnation, from never doing anything to exercise your faith, and just comfortably losing your spiritual life. But water walkers know to expect problems. We learn that from Peter's experience. Expect dangers, and as in so doing, accept fear as the price of growth. This may be the hardest thing in this story to hear, but it's so very true. The choice to follow Jesus Christ, the choice that you make to be a disciple, to grow, to mature, and I'm assuming every one of us in Christ here today has made that decision that we want to grow, we want to follow Jesus, we want to go where He takes us. To make that choice is to make a choice to choose to face fear continually. Because every time He calls you somewhere new, every time there's a new challenge, every time there's a new wrinkle, a new opportunity that comes before you, something that you haven't tried before, there is going to be fear. There's just going to be. The disciples are in the boat, and they see Jesus coming. They think it's a ghost, and what do they say? They scream, and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Okay, a couple of minutes later, Peter is out on the water, walking on the waves. He cries out in fear, and what does Jesus say to him? "Don't be afraid." Jesus is saying this a lot in the Gospels because people get afraid, especially at times of strife or of trial or Peter's testing on the sea. It's just going to happen. The fear will never go away. That's really good news. That may not seem like good news, but it really is good news for us to accept that the fear will never go away as we follow Jesus, because now we don't have to try to get rid of the fear. We don't have to think, well, when I'm not afraid anymore, then I can do it. The fear's always going to be there. So we just can get over that. We can just forget about it and understand that fear is the price of spiritual growth. Facing that fear, overcoming that fear, that's what people do to grow. The decision to grow is always a decision between fear or risk and our comforts. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, and I think this is just really hard to say in our day and age, you've got to denounce comfort, personal comfort, as your number one priority in life. We want to be comfortable, don't we? I want to be comfortable. I don't like winds and waves. I don't like the water blowing in my face in the middle of the night. I want a comfortable life. I want to take it easy. And Jesus says, not if you follow me. It's never been that way. A disciple of Jesus has to denounce comfort as the primary goal of their existence. You know what the number one best-selling chair in the United States is? You do. It's the Lazy Boy. Just think of that. Lazy Boy. You like to get in the Lazy Boy. It's not called Risky Boy. It's not called Worker Boy. It's called Lazy Boy. And we have a whole language around the Lazy Boy. You want to get in your Lazy Boy, and then you want to veg. You want to become as much like plant life as possible. You want to just sit there, preferably in front of a large screen television set. And then you can pick up your remote control and because you're wanting to go surf. But you don't even have to go outside. You can just go through the channels and sit in your Lazy Boy. We have a lot of vocabulary around this. We have couch potatoes. You know, I would say the apostles are boat potatoes in a sense. They're watching all the action, but they're not going to do anything. And sometimes in the church, we have pew potatoes. We have folks who just sit on the pew and never venture out of the boat, never even think about lazy or getting out of the boat. And here's the truth of the matter is this. There are a lot of folks who want the comfort and the assurance of the Christian life and the Christian faith, but they don't want the challenge, the risk, the fear, the discomfort, and the sacrifice that actually accompanies following Jesus Christ as Master and Lord. That's where we run into the trouble. We want to be comfortable. We want to sit and let other people do it, and we can observe it, and we can even maybe say, what a good job you've done. But Jesus is looking for people who will get out of the boat and see fear as the way, the price of growth. And I'm grateful in my life to have known some people who have taught me this lesson. Even in the last few years, among our family here, I've had some conversations with some people. And it might sound kind of funny to you hear a conversation like this, but it's like, you know, it really scares me to do that in the church. I don't know that I'm totally equipped to do that in the church. That's what really frightens me to even think about doing that. So I'm going to do it. Some conversations with a couple of brothers not too long ago that basically said that. This scares me to death to think about doing this in the Lord's church. I just don't know that I could possibly do that. And so it was like, I know that's what I need to do. I know I need to overcome that fear. And if it turns out to be something that maybe God doesn't want me to do long term, that's okay. But it's like a recognition that fear is holding me back from maturing in Christ. And if I'm going to be afraid, I might as well accept fear as the price of growth and experience the fear and grow through that fear. I am so grateful for people that I know who have shown me that in their lives and who challenge me and encourage me so much. Because here is the truth, and you know this is true. Whatever you choose to do, whether it's to step out in faith and get out of the boat or to stay put on your comfortable seat, it becomes a habit. If you're the kind of person who's ready to take on a new challenge and you're getting up out of the boat every once in a while, you know, and God is just continually leading you down that pathway, you are much more likely the next time to get up and get out of the boat. Not because you're not afraid anymore, because there's still fears that are going to be attached to it. But because, first of all, you've realized, you know what, I lived through it. Fear didn't kill me, and I learned something, and I grew spiritually, or God did something through that. But if you are inclined to sit still and to sit tight and not to answer the call of the Lord to do something, to join Him to serve, you are much more likely to stay there and stay there and stay there and never get out. And just be content to sit to the point you don't even see the Lord passing by or hear Him call you to join Him in His work. Water walkers accept fear as the price of growth. And we're going to be afraid anyway. We might as well be afraid and step out and do something that brings about a transformation in our lives. And you know, we do know sometimes there's failure when that happens, but water walkers learn how to master failure management. Let me ask you the question. Did Peter fail? Just think about it. Did Peter fail in Matthew chapter 14? Ortberg writes in his book that failure is not an event, but rather a judgment about an event. We know what happened to Peter. Is he a failure? We tend to, failures have to do oftentimes with outcomes. This is a Time magazine. Jonas Salk, polio vaccine researcher on the front. You can't see it, but down under his name, right over here in the lower left hand, that on the magazine it says, "Is this the year?" Salk has been working for a polio vaccine, and it hasn't happened. And Time magazine puts, you know, all the needles are up there. And it's like, we've had a whole lot of attempts. Is this the year it's going to happen? Salk had 200 vaccines that failed to work. And he was asked, after his success, what was it like to fail 200 times? And he said, "I didn't fail 200 times. I was taught never to use the word failure." He said, "I discovered 200 ways not to vaccinate for polio." Winston Churchill, after World War II, was asked what were the things that came about in his life to help him become the kind of leader that stood up against kind of the appeasement talk in the late 30s in Great Britain, and then, of course, to lead England, Great Britain through the war. And he said, "You know, one of the things that really helped mold my life was that I had to repeat a grade in elementary school." And they said, "You mean you failed a grade?" He said, "I've never failed anything in my life. I was given a second opportunity to get it right. Was Jonas Salk a failure? Was Winston Churchill a failure? Did Peter fail? Well, in a way, yeah. In a way, sure. I mean, he lost his focus, he doubted, he became afraid. He sank down in the waves. Yeah, there's a sense in which he failed. His faith wasn't strong enough. Ortberg points out in his book, and I agree with him, that there are 11 bigger failures in the boat who failed unnoticed, who failed without anybody bringing any attention to it, who failed because they didn't have enough faith to join their Lord on the waters, who failed quietly. Peter knew the shame of public failure, but Peter also knew something that those other men did not know. Peter knew the spiritual exhilaration of letting go of that boat and trusting in the power of God and knowing it was the power of God alone that kept him erect on that sea as he walked across to meet his Lord. He knew that he was accomplishing something because of his God that he could not accomplish on his own. And he would never forget that. Peter knew the glory then, even of being lifted up by Jesus, and the conversation that they're going to have on the waves, and the way that Jesus speaks to him. And he knows in a way that the others would not know, at least at that point in time, how Jesus could save him. And the connection that they have in this moment that's only shared between Peter and Jesus and not the others, because they wouldn't get out of the boat. The worst failure is to never get out of the boat. That's the worst failure of all. Because even in what we might think of as failure, water walkers see failure as an opportunity to grow. Peter cries for help. Jesus is there immediately. And it's a reminder that Peter made it all the way. It says, you know, tell me to come to you. And it says, Peter got out of the boat and he came to Jesus. He walked on the water and he came to Jesus. He covers the distance. And it's apparently right as he gets there that he has the moment of doubting that takes place. And he cries out and the Lord grabs him by the hand. We've sung a lot today about the hand of the Lord and taking hold of that hand. And that's what Peter does at this moment. And Jesus then rebukes him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? It seems like such a harsh thing to say. But you know, I wonder if this is something that Jesus says in a private moment to Peter, not addressing the 11 who are off in the boat, who may not even be able to hear what Jesus says, but just to say to Peter, Peter, let me pinpoint the problem here. The problem is you lost your faith. Why'd you do that? And it lifts him up. And they still got to make their way to the boat. Even in his rebuke, it may be a way of Jesus as the mentor and the master, just showing Peter, Peter, this is where things went wrong. And he challenges him to greater faith. And Peter now understands that dependence on faith in Jesus more than before because he got out of the boat. Let me ask you, if a month goes by and this scene happens again, the same setting, Jesus passes by the same city. Who do you think's more likely to get out of the boat? The 11 or Peter? I'm saying Peter. Peter's been there. Peter's been pulled up. Peter has been told about needing faith. I think if the opportunity had been presented a second time, Peter would have been out in a moment because his failure was an opportunity to grow and to learn, and an opportunity that wasn't shared by those that didn't get out of the boat. When he puts himself in a position to possibly fail, he puts himself in a position to grow. How much is failure related to our growth? How many times do we grow because we fall short, because we didn't succeed, because everything didn't go just like we wanted? That's so often what strengthens us and what helps us to get up and live a life of faith. I dare say a lot of us here have failed in some aspect of ministry. We've started something, and guess what? It just didn't work. God didn't bless it. It didn't happen. We thought it would, but you know what? It just didn't happen. or we thought we were going to be able to work and use this gift in the church, and just trying, you know what, you just don't, that's not who I am. God has given me something else in the church. But in those moments is when we truly grow, when we mature in our faith, when we're shaped by Jesus to be what he wants us to be. And lastly, water walker, walking on the water brings a deeper connection with God. There's a lot of reasons to get out of the boat. A demonstration of faith, an answer to the call of the Lord. Putting your gifts to work, serving God in some faithful way. Allowing God to call you and empower you to do ministry in the name of Jesus that you could not do without his help. But perhaps the greatest reason to get out of the boat is because Jesus is out of the boat. And you can draw near to him. Isn't that what Peter said? Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. That's what Peter is after. He's wanting to go to Jesus. And then the Matthew tells us that Jesus calls him to come, and Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water and came to Jesus. In this account, at least, that's where Jesus is. He's on the water. He's not in the boat. Not at that moment as Peter answers this call of faith. And the water can be a dark, dangerous place for us as we get out of our little comfort zones to do something great for the Lord. But when you know the Lord's calling you, you know that moving in that direction is going to bring you into the presence of your Lord. And there's a way in which you can't fully know Jesus. You can't fully know him until you're willing to let go of your fears and let go of the self-centered things that keep us from being faithful and being courageous and going out to him on the water. There's something that we hold back in our relationship with him until that can happen. So when was the last time you got out of the boat? Jesus calls us out of the comfort of the boat to follow him. To follow him out in the winds and the waves, because that's where there are opportunities to serve and grow. We seldom grow on a peaceful sea, let's be honest. We seldom grow on a peaceful sea. It's in the winds and the waves and the call of the Lord that gets us to step out in faith. And Jesus challenges us to trust him and to overcome, for some of us, this incessant longing for comfort. To respond to his challenge, to recognize that this fear isn't going to go away, whatever fear it might be that we have. It's time to step out in spite of the fear so that growth can take place and that we can go with our Savior. And the call to get out of the boat is a crisis in some way. It's an opportunity. It's certainly a call to fear, but it's also a call to do things beyond what you're capable of doing on your own. And there may be absolutely no other way to grow in faith and to partner your life with God's than to get out of the boat and to follow your Lord and to walk with him. And maybe there was a time when you or I, maybe when we walked on the waves with the Lord a little more regularly than we have done in recent times. Maybe for some of us, we can look back at a point in our life where our hearts was more like Peter's, where we would say, command me, Lord, and I'll come to you. And you know what? We did. And we followed him, and we did some things that we look back on and wonder, the Lord did something amazing there. That certainly wasn't me, but we've had those moments where we've answered that call. A time when we risked sharing our faith, even though we were afraid. A time when we stepped into ministry, when we really were concerned about how it might go. A time that maybe you moved somewhere else to do the Lord's work, to share the gospel of Christ with someone else, serving and sacrificing, even with the possibility of failure. And sometimes we sank, and sometimes we soared, but we were living there on the edge of faith with Jesus. And it's such an exhilarating spiritual time in our lives. For some of us, maybe we haven't been out of the boat for a while. We've gotten a little too comfortable. And some of us maybe haven't gotten out at all. Or it's been years. Years. And after all, the boat's so nice and it's padded. And not these days, we've got stabilizers on the things. We don't even get seasick anymore. You know, we can stay out there for long periods of time. Why not just stay comfortable in the boat? Well, Matthew tells us in the story, it's because the Lord passes by. Jesus comes with his divine power and presence, and he calls us to join him. He calls us to get out of our comfort zones. He calls us to get up out of our lazy boy chairs and out of our pews and off of our couches and to throw away the concern for comfort and to join him in something meaningful where we're giving our lives to him. And whatever that is for you, I don't know what that is for you. I really don't. You're the one who can know. I know what it is for me. I know what God wants me to do. I really believe I hear some things right now God is wanting me to do, some things God wants me to change about my life and be a different way, just in answering his call to be a disciple of Jesus. We all have those things personally. It's about our own personal growth at this moment in our lives as we follow Jesus Christ. And I just want each one of us to be encouraged to hear the call of Jesus, to see his hand reaching out for us, and to get up and to face whatever it is that terrifies you and to go with the Lord. And if you do, maybe you'll slip. Maybe you'll fall. We do sometimes. But the Lord is there. The Lord pulls us up. The Lord will rebuke us and explain to us where we went wrong. The Lord will get us back up on our feet serving him and give us other opportunities to do so. That certainly is true in the life of the Apostle Peter. But the other thing that will happen is there will be those moments when you let go of the edge, and you'll experience the exhilaration in your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, walking with Jesus, and thinking, how in the world is this going on? I can't do this. I don't have the ability for this. This isn't me. And you'll know, as Peter knew walking across the water, this is the Lord. This is the Lord's power. This is the Lord's call. May we have that kind of courage to face those fears, to see it as a way to grow, to even see failure as an integral part of growing and becoming more what the Lord wants us to be. If you've never joined the Lord in this walk of faith called discipleship, being a follower of Jesus Christ, he gave his life for you. He gave his own blood that our sins can be forgiven so that we can walk with him and be reconciled to God, as our brother reminded us around the table today. We come to him in faith. We confess him as the Son of God. And maybe your life right now, you're feeling like you are sinking a bit in the waves, maybe of disappointment or frustration or a lack of meaning or even sins in your life that are taking their toll on you. We have a Lord that lifts us up out of the waves and gets us back up on our feet. And if you're ready today to confess your faith and to be baptized into Christ, he calls you to his side to live for him. Let's get out of the boat. Let's let Jesus lift us up. Whether we're in the boat and we need to get out or we're slipping in the waves, let's take the hand of the Lord and follow where he leads. And if you need to respond to him, please come now as we stand, as we sing.